This is the Real Happy Hour podcast first live event. We're doing the American Fiction movie. At this event, we're going to screen the movie, followed by a panel conversation about the movie. So at the event, we've got four industry experts that will be on the panel. The first person is Adi. Adi is a director, producer, and actor. We've got Keziah. Keziah is a Netflix associate. We've got Bumi. Bumi is an actress and an artist. And we've got Fidem. Fidem is a gospel artist. And all four of them will be at the event and on the panel.
How did you come to write this book?
What really struck me was that too few books were about my people. Where are our stories? Where's our representation?
Would you give us the pleasure of reading an excerpt?
Yo, Sharonda, girl, you be pregnant again? If I is, Ray Ray is gonna be a real father this time around. Thank you.
Monk, your books are good, but they're not popular.
Editors, they want a black book.
They have a black book. I'm black, and it's my book.
You know what I mean.
Hi.
Hi.
How are we doing?
Good, thanks.
Good, yeah.
Amazing. So the very first question I usually ask is, what do you think about the movie?
Yeah, I thought the movie was quite complex, very rich, very intelligent. I don't think I've seen anything like that. And what stood out to me was a number of things, but even because I direct and produce as well. The fact that, you know, we saw black people near water and in nature and things like that, when usually it's always very like urban settings. So yeah, I thought that was a nice touch, something very unique.
Yeah, I definitely echo those sentiments, and I would say there was a lot of awkward triggering moments, but yeah, lots of food for thought, I would say.
Yeah, I agree. I related to a lot of it in terms of story. Yeah, it was also a bit triggering at times, but I really did enjoy it overall.
Yeah, similar to the girls. Yeah, definitely enjoyed the film as well. And it was nice to see like a different side to like what you usually see on TV when it comes to like black culture, and especially like the roles of the family, like the different position they had and stuff like that. It was just nice to see.
Very, very true. I agree with all of the sentiments. It was a very good movie. I like the characterization, the direction of the movie. If you guys did not know, this is the director's very first movie called Jefferson. So this it's inspiring to see something like this. And I like that we're having a conversation about things like this, because hopefully one day we can be part of that. Obviously, you've created and directed quite a few things. What can you see any... Okay, so this movie does break a lot of stereotypes and addresses a lot of stereotypes in films. Do you create things like that in mind, considering you work with a lot of brands and that?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I always try and break stereotypes. I know sometimes we have to lean into them to kind of get to go on a journey with characters and things like that, and you lean into them because you're usually poking fun at the audience's perception of these stereotypes. But yeah, the things I write and I like to work on, I always want to go against that. I really love working with women as well, and pushing those narratives, because I like pushing stories that we don't hear about and amplifying voices that are always suppressed.
Keziah?
So I work in unscripted nonfiction, so we don't really do any scripted content. But say in terms of race and those kind of different subjects, I would say that it is at the forefront of our minds. But not in the sense and not in the way that the movie kind of depicted. I feel like, if anything, there's the opposite here. So as opposed to trying to act or overly act black, it's the opposite. You're expected to act white, I would say.
So Bumi, what would you think in terms of just stereotypes displayed in the movie, and as an actress yourself, like how do you sort of address that in what you do?
So for me as an actor, if I get a script and I don't like it, I will voice my opinion. I've been on one, it was a play we did for the Edinburgh Fringe, and I tore the script to shreds because I felt like it was about Nigerians and the whole immigration thing as well. So I felt like the audience that were going to be watching it were going to be learning about these people and their background and their culture, and I had to make sure that every line in there made sense. So me and the writer, we butt heads a lot. So I personally take it on as like a responsibility and a challenge. Like, I understand what Monk was going through because I feel like he had to do what he had to do to get in the door. And I feel like his mission would be to then do what he wants to do with the books that he's written prior to Fuck. So for me, I would want to be a monk, but I'm not really. I don't know how to play the game in that way. So I do find his conflict quite interesting and, yeah, just interesting, I think. So, but it is hard. It's hard to be the, because you do find yourself being the one person on the outside, and you don't really want to be that person who's the difficult one, the challenging one. So you have to find your balance. And there's been times where I've had to find my balance and close my mouth, and it's been challenging. It can mess with your mind a little bit because you feel like, am I black? Am I proud of myself? Why did I let that go by? You know, but I feel like that happens in life, in any field you're in any situation you can be in. So, yeah.
So Feedom is a gospel artist, and there's a lot of layers here, being gospel and being black, and you're rapping too. So those are a lot of areas that you're breaking in terms of just a stereotypical artist that's making gospel. So how is that like for you?
Yeah, very much the same in terms of just the space that I'm operating in. It's, they definitely want to hear what I have to say as a young black man in those kind of spaces. So I'm talking like whenever it comes to like festivals, they do want that representation, but it's never like on full like main stage sort of thing. It's always like the little cousin sort of thing. So you might have like a tent where that satisfies the need, and then a bit of time, but you won't get enough. So within this film, I did relate with the fact that sometimes you do just have to do what you have to do to kind of get on those platforms. But at the same time, you have to be integral to like who you are and just stand firm on that. So that's the balance that I find most of the time, is like, how do I cater to this audience at the same time be integral to who I am? Yeah.
So I think what I can get is from this movie and some of the things that you all have said is there is a sort of game you have to play to sort of get through the door. And once you're in the door, then you can make that impact, which we see Monk. Well, not Monk, Isare's character, actually, because Isare's character wrote that book. And through us watching Isare, we can tell that, okay, she just did this to get through the door, and she doesn't necessarily agree with everything she wrote, but she just did it to get through the door. So do we feel like there are barriers that exist in the real world? And do we think that Monk should have done something different?
Good question. When you say Issa Rae, you meant her character?
Her character,
right,
yes.
In that book,
not actual, yeah. Issa Rae.
Yeah, I think that's a challenge and an issue that a lot of black people who are creatives are kind of, they battle with. I mean, in the end, Monk didn't get what he wanted to get. He had to write that stupid ending, which obviously the director was like, yeah, this is the one. So he was playing the game, and then he was like, I know I don't want to play the game, but he ends up playing the game anyway. So yeah, it's just a weird battle. But for me personally, I felt like I maybe had to bring myself down that path. And then before I get there, I'm like, no, I'm not actually doing that. I'm trying not to do that at all, in fact, as much as possible. So yeah.
So yeah, because in terms of, yeah.
Same question?
Yes, same question. And you guys are also, you can ask questions too. Like if you have something you'd like us to ask, you can ask.
Yeah, I would say that there's definitely barriers to entry in any industry. So put aside even media, I would say just as from my personal experience as a black person in the UK, even though I've been born and raised here, like there's certain things that I feel as though I've even had to change. I don't know if it's, like, it's a tricky one because I don't think that anyone's ever said to me, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to change about yourself. But at the same time, like, throughout my career, I feel like there are things that I've kind of learned along the way and just basically changed. And, like, looking back, I don't know if I'm proud of the things that I had to change in order to get through the door. But then at the same time, I'm here now, so then I'm able to make the changes that I would want to make.
Exactly. Yeah, I was just going to say, is like, wearing different hats in different spaces. Sometimes you have, like, your professional hat on where you operate in a certain way. As long as it's not going against, like, your moral code, you know, there's definitely lines not going to cross. But there's time when you have to put on a professional act and just do the job as a professional and deliver. That's kind of it for me, really.
Okay. So switching gears a bit to the movie, because I feel like I initially wanted us to just share our experience in relation to the film. And we've done that for just to inspire in a way. So now that we've done that, we shared a bit about your journey, breaking barriers, and we switched to the characters in the film and the dynamics of the characters. So for example, Monk, through the movie, I just felt like there was this mirror of, we don't know who Monk's dad is, but Monk is Monk's dad. And we're seeing him in a way that we can assume that's exactly who his dad was. So in terms of the characterization in the movie and outside of Monk, what else struck out to you?
Well, I just love that they weren't stereotypical black characters, and the film wasn't a stereotypical black film, which is obviously the point of the film. So the fact that they were all doing well in their professions and things like that, but like human beings and characters in general, they were all flawed, and we're all flawed as people. And I like that the film showcased that and was very honest with it. And also the representation of the family and like older black love as well, that we don't hardly ever see in film. So I thought that was really nice. Yeah.
I would say the tropes with his mum and his sister, they really stood out to me. I think they're kind of storylines that I don't think we're always divulging into within the black space, even say with Alzheimer's, and then even the gay trope as well. Like, there's just things that we don't usually explore in that way. So I loved it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Monk. I did want more in terms of like understanding who his dad was, because I was trying to understand how the dad has impacted the siblings and their relationship, and why he was, because I think it was, I don't forget the characters' names, but Tracy and the other brother, they were close, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like I wanted to know a little bit more about that dynamic, and it was interesting to see his switch when he was with his girlfriend when they were eating the spaghetti. So I thought, I never saw that side of him until that moment. And I thought, oh, there's a bit of a dark side to him that the brother has been talking about. So I did really enjoy his journey. And I really saw his light at the end. I felt like he had a weight off, which was quite refreshing for me personally.
So, yeah, I like that he was a flawed character. He was the hero of the film, but like all heroes, they're always flawed. Yeah, so I loved his journey as well. And the fact that he was still not perfect and, you know, just human. We're not perfect.
100%.
I think what I also noticed is the issue of loneliness that black men go through. Because Monk, I don't know, I think his brother identified or highlighted that he's a lonely soul. And his mom also mentions the fact that his dad was a lonely soul, and that perhaps is what drove his dad to kill himself. So there's that identification of the mental struggles that black men go through. You know, we're out here trying to do the best for our families, but then we go outside into the real world and we're not necessarily seen as the person that we are, but we're just seen as a caricature of who we should be. So I think the film kind of addressed that in a very subtle way. Yeah. Fidem, what would you like to say?
Yeah, definitely, I agree. I definitely the message of like, the acceptance as well, because I saw how the family dynamic was. It wasn't a perfect family, and a lot of us can relate to that. And just to see how they were accepting towards one another, one way or the other, was good to see. And in terms of like just like the loneliness that black men go through, sometimes it's like the outlets are not really there or they're not created. So it's about looking for how do we create those outlets so that more black people, black men can, you know, have a voice and share themselves without feeling like they have to put on a mask or something, you know? So sometimes it gets heavy. But as black men, we definitely need to find a way to get an outlet.
Yeah, very true. I'd like to quickly talk about the relationship between Monk and his girlfriend, played by Eric Alexander. I can't remember her name in the role. I thought it was a very beautiful, modern, grown relationship that we don't see a lot of. And I like that she was very headstrong. She didn't take, you know, usually in movies, like, the female, slightly older character might be a bit weak and might just forgive and all of that stuff. But I like how she was a strong character opposite Monk. And I also found it interesting, the relationship between her and her ex, when the ex came in and he was like, do you want to have dinner? And I was like, this is a bit different. I've never seen that before. So I don't know, what did you notice about Monk and the girl's relationship?
I think it's like what you said. It was a very grown relationship. So, and I think there was that mutual understanding of them being black professionals in America and what that looks like as well. And in terms of like the relationship with the ex, again, I think it's just a very grown, mature relationship. It's coming to an end. Okay, cool. We're going to be mature about it. It didn't show like a negative stereotype of, you know, they're cussing each other and stuff like that. So, yeah, no, I thought it was nice. I liked their relationship. Again, it felt very real. Like you said, modern, grown and mature. And they had really good communication, which was nice to see. They didn't, like, they talked through issues and things like that. Yeah.
Up until the moment where he couldn't just express.
Did they get back together? Or is that up for us to decide?
It's up for us to decide.
Do you think she took him back?
Definitely.
Do we think?
I don't think she did. I don't think she did. I think she's really headstrong, and I think he was a bit of a liar.
So wait, guys, let's do a vote. Do we think Monk and his girlfriend are back together? If we think so, let's raise our hands up. Oh, wow.
I think so. I hope so.
He kind of deceived her in a certain way, you know.
He did, but then he was honest about it.
When?
Oh, or was he? In the sequel.
Yeah.
In the sequel, he was honest about it. I actually don't know.
No, I feel like she only found out, well, from what we saw, when at the awards ceremony, right? So he didn't actually outright come out and tell her the truth and actually snapped on her because of her like for the book. So for me, that's a red flag.
Do you think she knew that that book is his? Was that all a test? Was that like a female intuition?
It was so unlike him. Oh, what? Well, the thing is, he wasn't being his. I think there was a piece of him in that book, which he didn't want to face, which is why he was so against it. Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think she knew that that was him. Sorry, I forgot what else I was going to say. Carry on.
So the siblings, what I couldn't tell who was the oldest, the middle, or the youngest. Maybe Tracy's the oldest. But I felt like Monk might be the youngest. I don't know why. Oldest or youngest.
I think he's the youngest.
Oh, really? No.
Because I find sometimes the youngest does step into that role.
Like the black sheep.
Taking over when, you know, there's just a mum left now. And I think he's stepped into, because the sister's gone. She probably would have done it.
So then technically she may have been the youngest because she already stepped into the role without there being an issue first.
I feel like she was the youngest.
I feel like she was the youngest.
He's the oldest.
And so so let's talk a bit about the publishers or the authors, and the dilemma with of choosing a book or in terms of just ranking the book, though that whole conversation and arguments and all of that, do you think that's a representation of the real world, or were they pandering, or were they just trying to open the door, like, okay, this is a diverse book, let's open the door?
I think, you know, come on. You know that it was, that's how it is. It's like, oh yeah, let's tick the diversity box, and oh yeah, this sounds really, really black, so we're gonna, this sounds so raw and authentic, so we're just gonna, that's why I kept, when they kept highlighting those, like in the shots, they kept highlighting those words that the press and media use over and over again to describe black voices. Yeah, it was definitely a representation of, it was obviously satirical, poking fun at it, but it was a good representation of not only the publishing world, but also Hollywood.
Just on that though, I don't know if you guys agree, but I felt like Issa's character was contradictory. Like, I didn't quite buy her story.
I agree with that.
She's just a younger monk who switched on to the game quicker. Well, Monk comes from a generation of, I'm an author, a credible author, writing authentic, real, interesting stories. And Issa's just like, let me bust through the door and change the game.
The thing that, okay, resonated with me, that was when she said, you said potential in terms of like describing. No, she said, what did she say about
that? That was a really good line. She said, if you see potential in someone, you feel as though there's something
lacking,
or they're lacking, or there's room for improvement.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that, yeah. So that was kind of the only thing which I think was like, okay, cool. Yeah, she's making sense here. But yeah, the other things I was a bit like, I don't know, a bit confused with that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting how even in the diversity card, like, there still wasn't enough to outvote, you know what I'm trying to say. So
yeah,
that's the reality of it, really. You know, you can get in certain rooms, but there's only a certain amount of influence that you will have to actually make a real impact. And that definitely showed through.
Yeah, and even then they didn't have any impact because they both said, we don't want fuck to win. And they were like, it's tough, 3-2. And again, that's another point that they're like, it is 3-2. It's usually more against, them. So,
yeah, okay. Quick highlights of the Celeste, what was the lady, the older woman. I saw her as like a fairy black grandmother. You know, there's this trope of the older woman who plays like the magical grandmother. Although she played that role, I like that they explored her character more, her love interest growing. Like, that was very different for me. Yeah.
Yeah, that was one of the most, the standout scene for me in the whole thing was when Monk tried to give her the apron and she rejected it. And I felt like there was something in that where he saw her as like, you're our family, but more as a service.
Yeah.
And she was like, that's not more than that. And I don't know why I really related to that, but it just really stuck out to me how she's moved on with her life. And he saw it as like, oh, wow. And she's thinking like, I want to live my life. I am a whole person outside of the service I have for this family. Because I almost felt like they wanted her to say, don't send her to the home, I'll take care of her. Something in me thought that Monk really wanted her to say that. And when he gave her the apron, it was kind of like, are you still not going to stay with us? And she's like, I don't even like that color. Like, I'm not that attached to what's going on over here. I have my life. And I like the idea that life doesn't stop at a certain age where the sister had passed. Life does go on for the women and men that pass a certain age, and they can go on, remarry, have love, have life, and be happy. So I really did enjoy that aspect. And then the other side, which is the ill side, the failing side. So to see those two in the mum and the auntie, I don't know what current name was, I really did enjoy a lot.
Okay,
I think was my favorite whole thing.
Yeah. Do we have any questions? We'll come through the crowd and hand them the mic.
Hi. So I'm a master's student in film studies, and my research is based on psychoanalysis, feminism, and critical race theory. And so my question is, what do you think of, like, Lorraine's character? Do you think her character and the way she was written as a sort of, like, kind of stereotypical figure? Like, do you think that takes away from the film's objective of recognizing and unpacking, like, the segregated, like, racial structures in place within the social script? Or do you think it adds to, like, the complexity of, like, Black representation or, like, on screen and, like, through the inclusion of, like, Black history and, like, trans historical trauma? And what do you think that means for, like representation of Black women on screen and people of color on screen?
Sorry, I've forgotten the characters' names. Who was Lauren again? Oh, the woman we were talking about.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yeah. I'm trying to remember that very loaded intellectual question. Yeah, At first I was thinking, it was a character that I was familiar with. And I thought, in the back of my head, I was like, oh, here we go. She's just like that mammy type character. But again, as we were saying, like, it was nice to see that flipped in a way. The fact she rejected the apron, the fact that she chose love. She didn't stay back and, you know, be that caregiver and that server that she probably had been for a good while. And that she had her moment in the story, and they gave her like a little bit of a spotlight. And amongst all the ups and downs of that film, because there were so many layers, it was just nice for that moment with her and her husband. And I was just smiling, like, I was just like, oh, this is so lovely to see. So yeah, I think maybe at first you think, oh, it's going down that stereotypical representation of, the caregiver, the older mammy type character. But I like that it was flipped, and I think that they did a good job with it.
Yeah, I think they challenged it by doing that. So yeah, I definitely think it was worth the storyline.
100%. I think the key thing with her rejecting that apron, it shows that narrative is over. Yeah. And the mammies, they have their life, and this is the life. And then they showed it in a very authentic, really beautiful way that I really resonated with. So, yeah, ain't got to worry about that.
Hi. So thank you very much to the panelists and Honor as well for putting this on. So first and foremost, I want to say Jeffrey Wright was the only actor I feel that could have really done this film justice. And I say this because if you've seen his other roles, for example, in James Bond, even Boardwalk Empire, has anybody seen that? So he plays a guy called Dr. Valentin Narcisse, like he's absolutely impeccable. But even in Bond, he plays like a very, his character basically transcends race as well. So you don't necessarily look at his character in Bond and think, oh, this is a Black actor. You just think, this is his character, he happens to be Black. Now, in terms of even him taking on this film, American Fiction, I feel like it's almost a play on art imitating life and life imitating art. Because if you've seen a film called All Day and a Night, have you seen a film? So he basically plays, so Jeffrey Wright basically plays like a convict spending like life in prison. And he's trying to guide his son away from, I guess, becoming also a gangster and becoming involved in a gang life and spending life in prison. And so I wonder whether or not maybe him taking on that role maybe would have inspired him to also take on this role as well. Maybe, I don't know. But perhaps it was a driving force. Now, in terms of the movie itself, I just want to give a quick on that. I do have a question for you as well. But in terms of the movie itself, I did enjoy it, but I feel like I would have loved to have seen him explore the whole narrative between him and Issa Rae a little bit better. And
I was expecting that as well.
You only saw like one interaction where I guess two sort of opposing views are, you know, they're kind of opposite each other on the table. But I feel like they could have maybe explored it better. Maybe had a few more scenes of the two of them, maybe trying to understand each other's perspective as well. It would have been good as well to see his dynamic with the brother fleshed out a little bit more as well. I feel like it's sort of one side, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, we accept you, or people want to love you, and that was it. So anyway, after having everything, in terms of everything I've said, what narratives do you feel still need to be explored, or what conversations do you feel still need to be explored in like a post-Black cinema?
I just realized we didn't even highlight Monk's brother and the journey he was on. Let's not have like an erasure of that character too. So perhaps more of an exploration of that character. What are his motivations and things like that? Things around that kind of character too.
Yeah, I agree. Actually, because we saw him, obviously he was taking all these drugs and stuff, but we really didn't go into the reasons behind that. Like, the person he was closest to has passed away. He's been outed, I would say, as gay, knowing that probably knew that his mum was homophobic and then obviously slipped off. And then it's like his brother's been thrust back into his life. There was a lot which he had they didn't really delve into. But at the same time, we have to kind of give allowances because that film was so loaded with so much. It's like, I could see what they were trying to do. They were trying to cram a lot in. So it's like trying to add all these other nuances and things like that. It was been a lot. Maybe they need another film. I don't know.
I feel like it would have been great as a series. Maybe that's taken a step too far, but yeah. Something that kind of, extends it. Yeah. That's what I would have loved.
The timekeeper is here.
Oh, thank you so much, everyone. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but there's more time outside to talk. We've got like an hour to just have a conversation and talk more. Thank you all so much for making the time. Thank you very much to the panelists. Thank you very much, Bumi. Thank you, Kizaya. Thank you, Adi. Thank you, Fidim. Thank you all so much. Also, let's quickly highlight, this is possible because Hannah from We Are Black Journals facilitated this whole collaboration. So thank you very much, Hannah, and really love you. My mom is here. Thank you so much, Genesis Cinemas. This is a family-owned establishment, and I'm happy that my family is here. And, thank you all very much. Thank you.
Well done, Ola. Well done.